This is a good one. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, Patrick, I've noticed that the DJ on the classic rock station no longer plays Bye Bye Love right after you've... Do it again.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, Patrick, I've noticed that the DJ on the classic rock station no longer plays Bye Bye Love right after You're All I've Got Tonight.
Ugh, it must be a communications breakdown.
It's Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
We're in the basement. We're counting down Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. You guys are enjoying some beers that Kevin Spain brought over.
Thank you, Kev. Fairwinds. I believe this is down in Alexandria. Oh, Lorton, Virginia. I'm sorry. Yeah, Fairwinds. Good beer. I like the Kolsch.
So
it's a good beer.
We, as I mentioned,
it's good for before noon.
Led Zeppelin countdown all week. We asked loyal listeners of this show to submit to us top 10 lists. Yes. And from that, we compiled it all. You have like a spreadsheet going over here.
I didn't
realize you had a degree in accounting.
Yeah, that's right.
And you compiled it all, and then we made it into a top 15. Mm-hmm. So we're doing three songs each day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us this week are...
Kevin Spain.
Brad Mailer.
Rob Gates.
All right, thanks guys. We got some pizza coming in about a half hour
Sweet.
Or so. Now... Before we get back to the countdown, though, we should do this.
Okay.
We do have some more free stuff.
Oh, great.
No, this is just, you guys, you know, have a side conversation, whatever, but Patrick and I have to open the free stuff real
yeah.
quick. So hang on one second.
What state is that from? By Colorado, by
this
any
This is from Trip Bacon okay. in Beaverton, Oregon.
Okay, Beaverton, Oregon. Cool.
Colorado.
I've been to Beaverton, Oregon. Used to live out there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Trip Bacon. Thank
is
you,
Is that
man.
The Nike?
That is the Nike,
town,
yes.
Right?
Suburb
oh, okay.
To the west of Portland.
All right. Trip says, hi, guys. Greetings again from the suburbs of Portland, Oregon. Wanted to continue the tradition of sending you a copy of my mix from 2018.
Thank you, man. I remember I listened to his last year. It's awesome.
He says, even though I already shared it via Spotify, I like having physical copies of my favorite music as playlists inevitably get lost over time.
Amen.
In addition, I took up the challenge of trying to create a mixtape for your collections.
Yeah.
I donated... My cassette tape deck many years ago, so finding a working deck to make the recording was the biggest hurdle. I was finally able to make two tapes, a 90-minute one with the full mix and a truncated version on a 60-minute tape. After four attempts, first deck had broken belts, second one didn't have the correct inputs, third one also had broken belts, and then I finally found a working deck on the desk of one of the scientists in my office. Anyway, hope you find something that you had not heard of or listened to much in the past year. I'm also including several local brewery stickers that
nice.
I picked up at the kickoff meeting of the brewery running series that I participate in from time to time.
Mm.
You can never have enough stickers for your beer fridge or igloo cooler. Keep on rocking. Regards, Trip Bacon.
Thanks, Trip. That's awesome.
How about
awesome.
That?
And we are putting stickers down on our podcasting table that we use down in my basement. So
yes.
That'll be a good place for these. So let's now, Trip spent a lot of time doing this, obviously,
that's amazing.
Researching tape decks, which is really incredible. And that's very touching. But couldn't you buy two 90-minute tapes, Trip? No, just kidding.
Well,
oh, wow.
He,
this
least,
is incredible.
At least he didn't put the tape over the hole and tape and then record over a pre-recorded cassette.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe he did.
There's not like a not like a scandal cassette or something in there.
No. And this is amazing. So we got the CDs here, too.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And then the handwritten mixtapes, which is it's really awesome.
I remember from last year, he made these the cover of the CD with the, you know, album covers of the various songs.
That's pretty impressive.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Here's he's got some breweries here. Let's see.
Yeah, Rob, do you know any of these breweries?
Heathen Brewing.
Oh, let's see.
That sounds like one that would go right with this group.
Fort George. I remember he sent us a t-shirt. I have the Fort George t-shirt earlier.
I think these are all after my time. I was out there many, many years ago, back in the early 90s.
Most of these local brewing companies are after our time, aren't they? They're
yeah,
mostly pretty new.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, when I had moved out there, the microbrewing scene in Portland was just coming online.
Nice.
And there was a lot of great stuff out there.
I bet.
And then here's the tapes with the handwritten track listing. And
totally amazing great. Trip. Thank okay. you so much, man. Just really, really appreciate this.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's I'm get... just saying, Tripp's setting a good example for others.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So people, if they want to send us free stuff, just email rock@suburbspod.com and ask us for the address. We'll give you the address. Then you send the free stuff. It's pretty
or
simple.
Or if you want to send a pickup truck for me with a tape deck in it, we'll tell you where you can drop it off. I'll come and get it. How about that? If somebody can find me a pickup truck, buy it for me, I will get out to wherever it is and drive it home.
Is it 1-877 cars for Pat?
That's right. Just don't start with that jingle, man. It'll never be out of my head.
All right. I want to play this song on the Led Zeppelin
All right,
countdown
because
I have a story, not necessarily a good story, but okay. a story nonetheless. This is number, where are we at here? 12.
12.
Goes on from there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
coming to the best part though.
So yeah. I know. I was going to get to that. So my biggest memory of this song. Do you guys remember when there was such a thing, a phenomenon called Laser Zeppelin?
No.
Anyone
do not know
heard of this?
No. Nope.
So they used to do a thing. I don't know if they still do this at things. It was generally at like planetariums where you could see like a laser light show set to music, right? And Zeppelin was a favorite. With these kind of things, because you can imagine, like, especially when you get to the break of that song, the trippiness, right, lends itself very much to this crazy light show. But my experience was even more low grade than this. So when I was in high school for two different summers, I went, so I was a band geek in high school, and for two different summers, I went, was part of the All Ohio State Fair Band on the trombone. You had to
major
audition,
props.
You had to audition
awesome.
For this, and they would take players from throughout the state of Ohio, and then you got to be in this band and play throughout the run of the state fair in Columbus, Ohio, and all of these various shows. But anyway, when you have free time, you're just like on the state fairgrounds hanging out, playing the, you know, games on the midway where you like shoot water into the clown's mouth and try to win like a little mirror with like a Van Halen logo on it or something like that, right? Things like that. But they had a laser show tent, and you would go into the tent and you would just like lie down on the ground and then look up at the top of the tent, and they would do Laser Zeppelin. And there were several different songs, but
That's
I
perfect.
Just remember Whole Lotta Love as being the one that was like that was the showstopper, right? Because you had that that crazy break right in there. And
were you stoned at the time?
Well, I wish I could say yes.
Most of the people laying on the ground probably were.
I think a lot of them were.
I guess.
Yeah.
He was a band geek, though. I'm just guessing. So
that's right.
Probably not.
I thought they... Oh, never mind.
So this song is fascinating where it lives in the discography. Because if you think about it, it's the first song on Led Zeppelin 2. So Led Zeppelin 1 comes out and it's like, everyone's like, wow, like, what's this? And then it's, can they do it again? You put the needle down, track one, side one, Whole Lot of Love. Oh yeah, these guys are back.
Well, that opening riff is just tremendous too.
And then that solo, when, you know, right where we left off, they were just about to get into it, you know, boom, boom.
Yep.
Yeah, just so good.
He left off at the orgasm part, right? Yeah. No, it is. It's a great song. And you're right. It did sort of kick them off with two. I think there's a lot of, as people go back and review their albums, two is one that a lot of them, it gets the most acclaim. And yeah, this is the one that kicked it off. This is a good song. And I can just imagine you laying on the ground watching this in the laser. I can't believe you weren't stoned, though. That's got me thrown off a little bit.
And speaking of Led Zeppelin 2, why is Lucille Ball on the cover? I don't know, but there she is. That's her, right? I don't know.
I don't have my glasses.
Okay.
That joke went over like a Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, we should talk about the name of the band really quick. Was it named allegedly by Keith Moon from...
Takes credit for
it. Okay, takes credit for it. Do you have more details?
Well, I think it was actually John Entwistle that came up with the name, but apparently there's the joke that everything that John Entwistle came up with, Keith Moon took credit for. So, yeah, apparently they had played around because... Those guys were a little disillusioned with The Who at the time, and they played with Jimmy Page and John Paul. They played with all these guys before they actually formed the band, and there was some talk of a possible supergroup with these guys. And I think it was Entwistle that said, you know, this group's going to hit England like a lead balloon, and then it sounds better to say Led Zeppelin. And then the other story was that they spelled it L-E-D because they were worried that the Americans wouldn't pronounce it right if it was L-E-A-D. They would call it Led Zeppelin. So
I never knew that.
Yeah. So anyway.
Like the Oneaters.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's right. Yeah, apparently Peter Grant said, yeah, people are going to say lead in America. We can't have it that way. So he crossed out the A. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I'll say that... inside of Led Zeppelin 2 is awesome because there's like a coliseum with each one of their names on a stone pillar. And
it's
then
like the
spotlights.
tent from the state fair.
I think that's what right. Jim saw on the roof of the tent.
That's right.
Know, the inside exactly. of Zeppelin 2.
So next up on our countdown is another Zeppelin 2
okay.
song. It's actually two songs. We decided to combine these two into one, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we can talk about why that is.
So I'm going to try to cue this up toward the end of the first song. Perfect. So then you can hear the transition.
DJ in America that would play one and not the other.
Okay, so
until CDs came out.
Okay,
and
I'm really glad you said that, Rob, because I have my friend Abish here, and I was with him the other night, and I had to record his thoughts on this.
Say that again about when you knew a DJ.
Oh, so you always knew a new DJ on the radio station in Kansas City. As you can tell from my voice, I'm from Kansas City. You always knew a nubile DJ when he'd only play Heartbreaker and not play Living Loving Maid.
And why does he have a British accent? Yeah.
I don't know. The first time he told the story, he did not have a British accent. But then when the recorder went on, so there you go. He was like, yeah, this guy's a newbie. He doesn't know to, you know, play Living Loving Maid. That's how the wheat from the chaff.
Well, and also when they started pulling DJs out of radio stations and going to this auto-programmed stuff, you know, the computers would see the break and that would be the end of it. Yep. There's, you know, not just that song, but there's others, you know, the Cars, you know, Moving in Stereo and, you know, was another one. It just cut off at the end of one. It's like,
And it's so interesting, I guess, because, you know, the two just go together so well, you know, but they are listed as separate tracks. It's just another really cool thing that Zeppelin did, you know, to make you be closer to them. And listening to that one on headphones, man, those guitar overdubs of Jimmy Page on the left channel are insane. Well, he's just kind of scraping away in the right channel.
Yeah, ever since you said that, like, I think this is the first time I've listened to any Zeppelin in headphones
for a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah, me too. It's a different experience. I think somebody in our comments thread mentioned that too. You got to listen to them on headphones.
Nick said that.
Nick, okay.
Yeah, so Living Loving Maid is also like really poppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's just a hooky song too, you know?
It goes back to those early Jimmy Page studio sessions. I think he knew how to make those 2 minute 50 rock singles that were really good.
Speaking of Nick, Nick Scalera, I was going to give him some props with Whole Lotta Love. So let me get to that here, because he picked Whole Lotta Love as his favorite Led Zeppelin song. But I like what he said here, which is, I don't think there's any other band that is so cemented to 2 years of my life, years 12 and 13. It's tough to summon that same passion anymore for Zeppelin, but I still get some nostalgic pleasure annoying my family by blasting it at full volume. I don't think he said it yet. He said blasting two at full volume. Okay. Anyway, here's the list. Heavily weighted toward 1969. Has there ever been a better two album run in 1 year? And then he says, I cheated on number two because those two songs as one are a medley separated by one of the best quick transitions in recorded music history. I cannot adequately separate them in my mind. So there he's talking about Heartbreaker and Living Loving Maid. So, but let's get to that real quickly here too. So did everyone here sort of have that same kind of like teenage experience with like Led Zeppelin was just like a huge band for you?
Yes. I'll take that really quickly. And yeah, I did. And I had a friend of mine whose name is Jerry Richard, who I used to play baseball with and hang out with a lot. And he changed my life because he was the guy who told me, kind of showed me by example, that it's kind of time to get rid of Kiss now. You know, like, I understand that you listen to them a lot, but now you're in junior high, so it's time to be a little more grown up. And he moved me on to The Who. And he was also the first person I ever knew who had a Walkman cassette player, and he lent it to me, and the tape he gave me was the fourth Led Zeppelin album. For the first time you ever have that little personalized music experience of your own when you're sitting there in your room, or, you know, it's a life-changing thing. And that was Misty Mountain Hop that I think was the first thing I ever heard. So that to me really marked a transition into more like mature, different, more serious music. That was me becoming more of a real rock and roller.
I also had that same album on cassette. Isn't that a funny thing? In the little cassette briefcase thing that I would have. But anyway, all right, let's move on.
I was just going to say, to your point, I think if there was one band that defined Generation X, it would have to be Led Zeppelin.
Could be.
That's interesting, because you don't, okay. I guess, so you don't really consider them a boomer band. You think they're more of a Gen X band?
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, okay.
They're the 70s. I mean, it's like I said, it was 69 is when it came out, but they were the beginning of the 70s rock movement, I think, because, I mean, the Stones and the Beatles, obviously were great, and the way they played music was completely different than the way these guys played. And I think these guys influenced all of those. I mean, even what Patrick's saying, even Kiss, even those kind of bands, they're all sort of hard driving rock style bands from the 70s, and Led Zeppelin's the one that started all that.
Yeah.
So I think yes, I think they're definitely the Gen X sort of godfathers.
Yeah,
of rock.
I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, and they fit right into my timeline. Right in, I think it's basically middle school for me. Like I was telling Rob earlier, I think you guys know I'm a drummer, right? So I got my first drum set in fifth or sixth grade and got recruited to join a band. And the guitar player was really, really, really into Zeppelin. And I spent those 2 years in middle school, like, just so absorbed in this band.
And like Patrick said, when you think about growing up, you know, when you sort of make that radio transition, because that's what we're listening to,
right?
Was a lot of radio, you know, from the top 40 into the AOR stations. I mean, it was Zeppelin, 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 oh, Zeppelin.
It seemed like every other song.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So you're just blasted with it.
Back, like you said, they didn't have the singles. So it was mostly playing just cuts off the album.
Right.
And I think that's why that worked so well with that time. I mean, that's, we were all about the albums back then, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't, I mean, I had a few 45s when I was a little kid, but it was mostly about the albums. It was about the cover and the way, I mean, and Zeppelin was, everything was a composition. They didn't really want you to pick songs and listen to it. They wanted you to listen to the whole work. And I think that was that style from the 70s was all about albums, and that's what we were into, or at least that's what I was into.
So I want to read this comment from BJ Botnan.
Okay.
He says, I'm missing the source, but someone once said that everyone will realize and attest that Led Zeppelin is the greatest band in the world, but only for a variable amount of time. For some, it's 5 minutes. For others, it's a lifetime. If that isn't a quote from some music writer or another, I'll attribute it to my neighbor, who might as well be a music writer. But yeah, they are one of those bands that, like, you know, at some point in your life, you're just going to kind of get obsessed with this band.
Yeah.
When you really discover, you know, maybe it was when you put the headphones on, you discover the greatness.
Yeah, right? And you know, to your point, Kevin, I had written in my notes, talk about a band that needed to get the playing order of the album right, because that's, you know, it mattered a lot. Like Rob was saying, with the first song on the second album, like that makes a statement and sets the tone for that. And what was at the end of side one and the last song always made a difference for Led Zeppelin, and their albums were a piece that you kind of held on to.
All right, so now we're going to move into the top 10. This is number 10.
Yeah, number 10.
On the countdown.
Okay. I definitely think that you can really hear the importance of, you know, the overdubs that Jimmy Page did on that solo right there, and the importance of having the amplifier at the bottom of the swimming pool completely enclosed so you can't hear it.
Yeah, I think this song is the song that sort of spawned heavy metal.
This one right here.
That's my personal feeling on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly early speed metal.
That's
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree, certainly,
like,
you know, when people start to, you
born.
Can't, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's undefinable by any other musical definition at that time.
That's really interesting. And you know, this is the only song that I've ever, Led Zeppelin song that I've ever played on guitar, because it's probably the simplest Led Zeppelin song in their entire catalog. It's got three chords, and I know how to play that A, that D, and that G, or whatever it is. And, but I, you know, and then when it got to that part, it was just, you just turn on your distortion and just, you know, you had a flurry of notes. But it's a really good point, you know, that you guys made about the origin of a genre right there.
So I had to step away to get the pizza delivery guy. So what was the origin of what genre?
Heavy metal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I was going to say, this is one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. I would have this really high on my list.
Yeah, I'm a fan myself.
But Brad, this is a short song. This one's only like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
It's really short.
I know.
I like it because to me, it has a little bit of punk rock to it too.
Yes,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like, it is just a driving song from beginning to end. Like you said, three chords.
Yeah,
it just keeps moving along, and 2.5 minutes later, you're done.
Right?
So
metal.
So yeah. I was gonna say that, and I know that's why you two guys like this.
Yeah.
And I actually read something from about the Ramones that said that they had a lot of influence from this song Jimmy Page played that.
Yeah.
That it was sort of like an early punk rock song too, because it's like really fast the whole time in the way they go, and so yeah. I also read another thing about punk rock that said that they, when they first started, they needed an enemy, and Led Zeppelin was their enemy because of the 10-minute guitar solos and everything. But then they influenced these guys too. But that's what I wanted.
Dichotomy of this band.
Yeah, well said.
All right, so that is number 10.
Number 10, we're into the top 10.
On the listener countdown, we're into the top 10.
Thanks, listeners.
You want to listen.
Every day, every single day, you got to listen to the show.
Yeah, because then we're going to keep going, right? So
you could miss something.
Going to move up to number one here in a little while. Of course, we should mention that people have comments about Led Zeppelin and so on. You can call 612-440-1984. Leave a message. We'll put your voice on the show. Mm-hmm. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can hit us up on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right, let's move on. Going to make our way through the top 10 tomorrow. You guys are all going to stick around.
Mm-hmm. We're not gonna just tiptoe through it. We're going to rampage through it, man.
Okay.
That's what Zeppelin would do.
And we'll have some pizza, too. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Also with us this week are...
Kevin Spain.
Brad Mailer.
Rob Gates.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you all tomorrow. Is it 1-877 cars for Pat?